Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 90 minutes, yes, 90 minutes, we're going to have to extend this, so much is going on. We will be talking about the world of professional wrestling at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. You'll have to forgive me for a minute or two because before we get to the phones or anything else, there is so much to unpack today. And I know what everybody wants to talk about. We want to talk about the CM Punk footage that was released by Tony Khan and the AEW this week, and that's what we're going to start with. But there's so much to unpack here, folks, and there's so much wrong and very little right that it's hard to really point the finger at anyone and say this person's right, this person's wrong. You know, there are incidents where, like, everyone is wrong, and this is about as close to it as you can possibly get. But let's start at the beginning. When I first heard that Tony Khan was going to release this security footage from the CM Punk Jack Perry incident, I honestly thought it was a work. I thought they were going to come up with some hokey, satirical, comedic footage that was just going to poke fun at it, and they were going to use it as a way to get the Young Bucks over as heels, whatever. Then I was told, before it aired, I was told, no, they are really going to air the actual footage. This is not a work. This is not some kind of satirical joke that they're doing. They're going to air the actual footage. So then my opinion changed, and I said, well, if that's the case and they're airing the actual footage, then one of two things has got to be true. One, Tony Khan is either the single stupidest person to ever run a wrestling federation in the history of professional wrestling, or that security footage is so damning to CM Punk that it is literally going to end his career. Because I cannot imagine any other reason. Can't imagine. Then came a little bit of a rumor that, well, it is an angle. It's going to tie into an angle between the Young Bucks and FTR. And I said, what? Now, I'm going to tell you right now. Let's just be blunt. Everybody who tunes into this show tunes into this show because we cut through the crap. So let's cut through the crap. Tony Khan is a filthy liar if he says that's why he did it. He did it because he was mad. He did it because CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani's show and made some comments. And then at the last minute, when he realized there might be some fan backlash, he said, let's weekly tie it to some kind of an angle, and maybe people will take more kindly to it. And there was no angle to be had here. None at all. So I watched the footage. And then I watched it again. And then I watched it again and again and again. And the first thing, of course, that strikes me is there's no audio. So it's very hard to hear, you know, anything that's going on because you got no audio. So you just have to assume that what Punk said, he said, or what Tony Khan said, he said. It's virtually worthless without the audio to begin with. But secondly, there are some things that are simultaneously true. I've read on various websites, this was a disaster for Tony Khan because it showed that CM Punk never lied about anything. Everything CM Punk said to happen actually happened. That's not true. That's not remotely true. CM Punk lied through his teeth twice. He said, Jack Perry approached me in a hostile manner. That's a goddamn lie. Jack Perry approached no one. CM Punk stormed into Jack Perry's face. So let's start with that. I'm hearing these memes of tell me where I'm lying. Okay, well, let's start with that. You said that he confronted you. That's not true. So that's where you're lying. So let's start with that. Then number two, we can't verify, but it's irrelevant. And that is, he said, well, Jack Perry said, what are you going to do about it? And that's why I shoved him. Okay, well, let's go back to the CM Punk defenders for a minute. And don't worry, I'm going to get on why Tony Khan was wrong for this, too. This isn't all CM Punk's fault. But let's start with CM Punk. Lied about who approached you. Secondly, CM Punk says, look, I'm a veteran. My job in that dressing room is to be a leader. When I see something that should be corrected or I see a young guy trying to do something, they should take my advice. So if I go over to them and tell them don't use a real glass or don't do this or don't do that, they should take my advice. Okay, and that's also a lie. They should, maybe they should, but they have no obligation to, unless Tony Khan tells them to. They're under no obligation to listen to CM Punk. So if you want to go over there and give them your advice and they choose not to use it, instead of acting like a petulant four-year-old, just blow them off and don't give them any more advice. But what CM Punk chose to do during the biggest show in the history of AEW's short lifespan is to create a backstage altercation because he felt disrespected. Not the company was disrespected. Not that Jack Perry had done something to humiliate the company and make the company look bad or cost the company money. No, he made CM Punk feel disrespected. So that's reason enough to cause a disruption during the biggest event they have ever held and make the entire news cycle change from what a wonderful, huge, remarkable event it was to, did you hear what happened with CM Punk and Jack Perry? If that's not the ultimate in selfish egotism, then I don't know what is. Number three, if you are a veteran and you are a professional, and someone comes over to you and that you come over to someone in that situation and you say, hey, why did you say that on the tape? And they say, I felt like it. Okay, well, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have done that. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it? You know what you do if you're a veteran and you want to set an example for everybody? You say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm never giving you a piece of advice again. And I'm going to recommend that Tony Khan doesn't do very much with you because obviously with your attitude, you're going nowhere. You don't shove them. You don't shove somebody at the workplace. Is that the example you want to set? So if you're the manager, you may not be the boss, but you're the manager of a department. And when someone's insubordinate toward you, do you go to your boss and do you go to the owner of the store and say these employees are being insubordinate, or do you shove them and then choke them? The whole incident lasted a big 6 seconds. And here's another lie. I choked Jack Perry out. Jack Perry wasn't out. He was not out. So if you want to ask the question that CM Punk always asks, tell me where I'm lying. I've just told you four things he lied about. Flat out lied about. And I've also told you where he's wrong. You're not a locker room leader because you're shoving rookies. You're not a locker room leader because you choose the biggest event in the history of a company to cause a ruckus that now is going to turn the whole news cycle from how wonderful it was to how abysmal things were backstage. If you were that hot at Jack Perry, you know what you do? You wait. You wait till after the event is completely over and you see him again at a TV taping or whatever, and then you call him aside. Not CM Punk. Oh, I was offended. I have to do it now. Why do you have to do it now? Because I was disrespected. Oh, I see. So you're more important than the entire company. Now you know why I don't like CM Punk. And now you know why I don't defend CM Punk when people say, well, he's trying to teach these rookies and these rookies don't want to listen. So what? So if the rookies don't want to listen, you get to choke them out? So if the rookies don't want to listen, you get to ruin what should have been the premier moment for a company and their biggest pay-per-view ever. You get to ruin that? That's what you get to do? I don't think so. Now, there's a lot of people saying, well, and then he took a swing. It looked like he was yelling at Tony Khan. It looked like he took a swing at somebody. I don't think all the footage was shown. In fact, I know all the footage wasn't shown because they said that there were some speakers knocked over and some other things happened that they didn't show. They only showed the incident as it related to Jack Perry. So now let me get to the Tony Khan part of this. You showed this, and it proved nothing. At the end of the day, while CM Punk is as wrong can be for shoving Jack Perry, big deal. Big deal. There have been locker room fights before. Let's say Jack Perry wasn't a rookie. Let's say they two guys just got hot because the match didn't go as planned, and they got into a scuffle backstage. Big deal. You went on record and saying, in the history of my life, I have never felt so terrorized, and I felt like I was going to die. It's like he's in a plane that's going down. If you're that sensitive, Tony, sell the Federation. You don't belong owning one. That's number one. Number two, airing this footage did you no good. It was a temporary ratings boost, which it worked. But what did you gain from it in the long run? CM Punk fans are still going to say CM Punk was right. He wasn't right. He was as wrong as he could possibly be. I don't know how you justify it. If that was you that was shoved by CM Punk, you'd be crying like a bitch. Why is he allowed to do that when I'm just trying to do the best I can? So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Jack Perry looks to me to be an egotistical little you-know-what. But he's under no obligation to listen to CM Punk. CM Punk doesn't sign his paycheck. He doesn't have to listen to CM Punk. And if it takes him down a road where he ends up getting booted or kicked to the curb, well, then you should have listened maybe. But that's his funeral. CM Punk doesn't get to go confront him like he's the boss, and he certainly doesn't get to lay hands on him. Period, end of conversation. But then for Tony Khan to blow this out of proportion, as if this was a five-minute altercation, when it was about 25 seconds tops, with the physical part being about 6 seconds, is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. And it did him no good. Now, here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, well, you know, the Young Bucks really didn't want to do this. Well, who cares? It's irrelevant. Whether the Young Bucks went to Tony Khan and said, let's do this because we hate CM Punk, or the Young Bucks said, we really don't want to do this, Tony, and they were made to, it's Tony Khan's fault. Either way. Because the buck stopped with him. The Young Bucks went in and said, we want to do this. Tony Khan could have said, yeah, I don't think so. And if Tony Khan came up with it and the Young Bucks said, I really don't want to do it, and Tony Khan said, you are going to do it, either way, it's Tony Khan's fault. Don't blame the Young Bucks. Blame Tony Khan, because even if they thought of it, he's the one who okayed it. Nothing that gets on the air that's not ran by Tony Khan and okayed. So he obviously okayed it. He obviously used it for a ratings boost, and he obviously thought this was going to do him some good because he's clueless. He has no idea how to run a wrestling federation. Now let me tell you what I think. I believe that CM Punk was not mad at Jack Perry. I believe that CM Punk maybe was a little upset with Jack Perry, but not to the extent that he showed. I believe CM Punk was looking to be fired. I believe after that scrum incident where and the Young Bucks, and they were the executive vice presidents, and nothing was changing there, CM Punk saw writing on the wall that I'm not going to be the big cheese here. I'm not going to be able to call my own shots here. I thought I was going to walk in here and own the company. And everyone was going to shake in their boots when I walked down the hallway and said, sir, what would you like me to do on the show today, sir? And when they didn't do that, he said, well, I don't want to do that then. How do I get fired? And he figured, well, this is what I'll do to get fired. And it worked. Now let me ask you another question. Did you see anything, and I mean anything, on that videotape that would merit Jack Perry being suspended? What did Jack Perry do? Even if Jack Perry said some things to CM Punk, that's just verbal. What did Jack Perry do that would rise to the level of you are also gone? What's this, a no-tolerance policy, like you got in some school? Some kid comes in there and steals your lunch and spits in your food and kicks you, and then you punch him back, and it's like, well, now you're both suspended. Perry didn't even punch back. And yet he's suspended? Now, I will say this. Tony Khan had an absolute right to fire CM Punk. CM Punk disrupted their biggest pay-per-view of the year with nonsense. Petty nonsense that a 14-year-old would let slide, let alone a supposed veteran of the business. If you're that hot-headed that if people don't listen to you, you have to confront. Now you don't really belong in the business. There's something mentally wrong with you. No one's under any obligation to listen to you, unless you sign their paycheck. So if you walked over to Jack Perry and said, hey, I know you didn't listen to me, then why'd you make that snide comment about the glass? What are you trying to do? We got a problem? And Jack Perry says, yeah, we got a problem. I think you're an idiot. I think you're a low life, and I don't respect you in any way, shape, or form, and I never will. That's about the worst you could say, right? Well, all CM Punk has to say is the feeling is mutual, my friend. Good luck to you. Because that's what a professional does. What a non-professional does is say, my feelings are more important than this entire company. And now that you've insulted me, if I have to take this whole company down, I can't let that slide. That's not a professional. I hope that people don't listen to him. If you're a rookie, the one person you don't want to listen to apparently is CM Punk. Because if you mimic what he does, you're going nowhere. Period. However, Tony Khan has proven he cannot run this wrestling federation. Because nothing good came out of this except a temporary ratings boost, and now you're the laughingstock. There was no big fight. There was no chaos that would put you in fear for your life. I've been in the audience of soccer games that were more scary than what you went through. You feared for your life because of that? You feared for your life when there's 50 people around you who could have taken down CM Punk with a snap of their fingers if they really wanted to? My God, there's Cassius Ohno, right, holding on to him. He's not exactly breaking free of him. I doubt you feared for your life, Tony. I think you just, I'm going to be very blunt here, and I hope people don't fault me for it. I think Tony Khan doesn't really understand anything other than, I love wrestling, and my dad's rich, and I can have a wrestling federation. And I think he needs to lay off the drugs, and I think he needs to hire somebody who can put him in checks and balances, because if you are running a federation, where you have hired this many wrestlers, including veterans, and you say you're going to do this, and not one of them say, this is suicide. Do not do this. This is the worst decision you could possibly ever make. I've looked at the tape. It shows nothing. It is not going to help you. It is just going to make you a laughingstock. Then secretly, none of them even like him. Because if I worked for Tony Khan, and I don't care if I worked for Tony Khan as a preliminary bum who's just breaking into the business, or I've been in the business 35 years, I would have went to him and said, what do you hope to accomplish with this? This is going to backfire tremendously. Can't you see that this isn't going to do anything? If it showed CM Punk going completely berserk, taking swings at everybody, pushing referees down, trying to get to Tony Khan, being hauled away by five or six wrestlers who he's attempting to break free from, acting like a madman, then I would have said, okay, well, maybe that's why Tony Khan aired it, to say, you don't know how bad it was. All you people who say I shouldn't have fired him, and all you people say I wasn't in fear for my life, look how bad it was. He was throwing things. The other wrestlers were getting in the way and getting injured or could have got injured. Referees, there were some females back there. You can't have this. And then I would have said, okay, and that's sort of what I expected. What I saw was like something you see with 12-year-olds on a school ground. So I don't understand how Tony Khan thinks that in any way, shape, or form helps him. By the way, the crowd chanted CM Punk when the Bucks came out. So good, Tony. That was very good. Because you couldn't see that coming, right, Tony? You couldn't see by bringing up CM Punk's name that his fans weren't going to do that. This is what I mean about your foresight. His foresight is zero. I don't know how you can work for this company after this. Because you really have to think to yourself, if this is how his foresight is about the business, how long before he just drives it completely off a cliff? So there are no winners here. People are saying CM Punk was vindicated. He's not vindicated. Vindicated is what? A hot-headed bully who can't control his temper that shoves people he shouldn't shove, which, by the way, is assault. But in all measures of society, workplace or not, if you shove someone like that, you have assaulted them, and you could go to jail. So don't tell me he's been vindicated. He's not been vindicated. He put himself over the company. He picked the very worst time to confront someone when he could have waited. He put his hands on him, which he never should have done. And then he instantly says, I quit. I quit, like a little baby. I got into a fight with another. I quit. Quit, then why complain about being fired? You're the one who said you quit. So, yeah, you lied a bunch of times. On the other hand, Tony Khan made it out that a snarling madman with froth in his mouth attempted to kill one of his wrestlers. When other people tried to stop him, he tried to kill them. Then, like a mad dog who broke the leash, tried to climb over a desk to kill Tony Khan personally. Tony Khan is cowering in a corner for fear of his life. None of that happened. None of that happened. No one was even worried about it. You see Aleister Black walking around like with a Coke in his hand or something, just like, big deal. He's not even giving it a second thought. Samoa Joe comes over and literally just says, okay, well, that's enough of that. And that's all there was. I don't understand. So I'm going to go to the phones here and get everybody's thoughts on this. But here's what I want you to take away from this. There are no winners. For you people who say CM Punk's vindicated and looks better now, no, he doesn't. That's the way you may want him to look, but I've just told you that he looks like a complete putz, and I've told you why. For the benefit of people who are saying, well, you know, Tony Khan now at least has a backup reason why he fired him. We see that you can't shove people in the workplace. Well, I agree with that, but then here's the thing. Don't exaggerate it. Don't say, well, I was in fear of my life, and he was throwing things around, and innocent people were in the path of his fury. None of that happened. None of that happened. Cassizono just literally held on to CM Punk, and that was it. That was it. Yeah, he yelled and screamed and said, I quit, like a three-year-old, but so what? So what? So who's to blame here? Everybody's to blame. CM Punk's behavior was abysmal. Jack Perry could have probably very easily just said, look, I'm sorry you don't like it, but I'm going to do what I want to do. You don't have to say, what are you going to do about it? You don't have to challenge him. But here's the interesting thing. He says, Jack Perry said, what are you going to do about it? And that is a call for violence. That's what CM Punk says. That's challenging me. What did you do to the Young Bucks when you said, if you don't like it, come knock on my dressing room door? That's not a challenge. That is the verbal equivalent of what Jack Perry said to you. And your reaction was, what, punk? I had to shove him. He called me out. You didn't call out the Young Bucks when you said, come knock on my dressing room door if you don't like what I'm saying about you guys being clueless putzes. Yeah, you called them out. See, what CM Punk does, and he does it very well, is he baits you into doing something and then plays victim. Oh, I just was commenting on their inability to run a federation, and those hotheads broke into my dressing room to beat me up. No, you called them out. Just like Jack Perry called you out. And you reacted the same way the Bucks reacted. But the Bucks bad, Punk good, right? I don't like the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks at this stage of their career could have told Tony Khan, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. What's Tony Khan going to do? He's not going to fire him. They're the executive vice president. I hope you all saw Tony Schiavone's face. Tony Schiavone's been in this business a long time. When they came back from that clip being played, Tony Schiavone had his head basically buried in the desk. He understands very clearly that this was the most petty, ridiculous, nonsensical waste of time, airtime in a wrestling show in history. And that Tony Khan is never going to recover from this as a leader of a wrestling federation. Never, ever. So if CM Punk's goal was to bring down AEW, he's probably done it. But he didn't do it that night. He did it with Tony Khan's help, who decided, I'm going to relive this whole thing, rather than just let it go. Let me go to the phones. Mike, you saw, I'm sure you saw it. What was your initial thoughts?
Wow. I mean, look, we said it before. Cody Rhodes got out of it at the exact right time. You know, basically, Sting has washed his hands of the Federation by having his retirement tour, right? And it can't be good. It can't be good for Ed and or Christian or any of the former WWE guys that are there, even Mercedes Moné, who just signed with the company, right? Saying that, okay, the guy, our boss is a liar, our boss is a wimp, our boss is this, our boss is that, and it won't be long before this company goes down in flames, unless it gets saved by somebody, but that's not likely to happen. But that's not the point. The point is he doesn't come out, the guy who comes out, yeah, you said it exactly right. The guy who comes out good in this whole situation, the three guys that come out good in this whole situation, the Young Bucks and Jack Perry. Yeah, Jack Perry may have an ego, but what wrestler? How many big egos have there been in the history of pro wrestling? Right? Pro wrestling, yeah, big egos.
That's the thing, Derek in the chat room saying, look, you know, wrestlers have egos. He's saying what you're saying, and you're going to get those little shoving. Yeah, you are going to get them. But here's the deal. If you're a professional, let's just say that it's Jack Perry and Sammy Guevara this happened to. I would have said, well, what do you expect? Two rookies, they're both new, they're both hot-headed, they both got egos, they got at each other, it is what it is. But no, what CM Punk fans are trying to tell me is he is a tutor, a mentor. He was brought over there to show them the right way, and these snot-nosed brats won't listen. Okay, well, if that's the case, then you do what Steven Regal did, and you just leave. You do what Anderson did, and you just say, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. You don't attempt to beat them up. What's that going to solve? You think Jack Perry's going to listen to him after that? So what is it that CM Punk was trying to solve? He's not trying to solve any problems. The way you handle that, if you're a veteran and you feel disrespected by a rookie, is you tell him straight to his face, time I'm going to come to you with any advice. You obviously don't respect it. But I warn you ahead of time, you're on a wrong path here. Take it from somebody who's been around a while. That's it. You do more damage to somebody by telling them that than you do by shoving them like you're 12 years old and you're on a school playground. That's a professional? That's a veteran? That's a leader? That's none of the above. That's a hot-headed, thin-skinned little bitch who can't take the fact that somebody doesn't think he's God and won't listen to him. Now let me reverse it. If Jack Perry really did not want CM Punk's advice or did not like CM Punk's advice, he could have said to him, with all due respect, sir, I'd like to try to do this my way. I respect your opinion. I value your opinion. But in this particular incident, I'm going to do things my way. If I'm wrong, well, I've learned from my mistake, and I'll be the first one to come and tell you, sorry about that, should have listened to you. You see, that's what you do. Neither one of these guys are capable. But out of the two, who do you blame? The rookie who's just starting to get full of himself because he's on television now and he's starting to become a star in the business? Or the guy who's been here for 20 years? I'm going to blame the guy who's been here for 20 years because you should know better. But more than any of that, I'm blaming Tony Khan because what in the blue? Number one, if Tony Khan had any respect of any of the wrestlers, it never would have happened. Do you know how many times in my life? Now, you probably don't. Most of you don't. Maybe one of you does. There's many times in my life I have a pretty quick temper when I would have got up and fought somebody, but I was in a friend's house, I was in a relative's house, I was in a public place, and I said, I'm not going to disrespect this place. If we bump into each other again on different terms, it's on. Not here, because it's not the place. How come CM Punk can't do that? How come CM Punk can't say, this is the biggest pay-per-view we've ever had? We've got the biggest crowd in the history of professional wrestling, or at least that's what they said. This is going to be the shining moment for this company. The one thing I do not want to do during this great moment for this company is to ruin it by letting my temper get the best of me. So, yes, I despise the ground that that guy walks on, but I'm going to walk right past him. Because this is more important. This moment is more important to this company. How come you can't do that? If you're such a professional, how come you can't do that? Because it's always been and always will be all about you. That's why. And that's why I say CM Punk was intentionally trying to get fired. He figured I'll spoil their biggest pay-per-view. I'll threaten Tony Khan. Why would you threaten Tony Khan? Why would you threaten him? Even if you didn't go after him technically, which it did look like he lunged for him, why would you do that? What'd Tony Khan do to you? Tony Khan's telling you to knock it off. He's your boss. You don't lunge after him for telling you to knock it off. He ain't doing nothing. Any boss would tell you to knock it off. So I think it was pre-planned. I think CM Punk said, I'm done with this company. If they won't fire me, I'll quit. I'd rather they fire me because then I'll get my money. If I quit, I probably won't. And that's what he did. Because, again, it's all about CM Punk. We go to the phones. Damage.
How you doing, Marcus?
Damage. What's your thoughts?
Can you hear me? I got to tell you, first off, did they film this skit in a broom closet? I mean, they couldn't find a better place to film this promotion of the security footage. I've seen Michael Bryan film better promos with his limited resources than AEW's been doing backstage. It's ridiculous. And as far as the clown show that we saw, say what you want about WWE, about their storyline issues lately and having more promos than wrestling. But backstage, there's respect, You know who the boss is. When Vince was there, you knew who the boss was, and you didn't cross him. And if you did, there was problems. I know if Triple H, even though he's a little softer, but still firm, you know who the boss is when you go backstage and you respect him. AEW is a clown show, and it's a jungle.
Well, it is. And here's the thing. You know, you could say Vince McMahon and all the horror stories, but you're right. Booker T and Batista got into a fist fight. And when they realized Vince McMahon's going to hear about this and they were supposed to have a match, they're all like, uh-oh. Oh, we'll still fight each other. We're okay. Well, Vince, we'll be fine. We'll be professional because they respected him. That's why. Now, CM Punk's not going to be able to get away with this nonsense over in the WWE. I can tell you that right now. He knows he's not going to be able to. See, CM Punk took that job at AEW thinking, I'm going to walk in here and I'm basically going to overthrow Tony Khan. Tony Khan's a money mark. He knows nothing about wrestling. He doesn't know how to run a wrestling company. I'll network myself in there and I'll be the big cheese. He'll just throw the money. That's what CM Punk thought. Otherwise, why is CM Punk going around? Did you see other wrestlers that were hired? Is Edge doing that? Is Edge going around saying, I've been in the business a long time. You're going to do this way, or I'm going to shove you. You're going to do things this way. Do you see Edge doing that? You see Christian doing that? You see Chris Jericho doing that? You see Matt Hardy doing that? No. You don't. And you never hear of anything like that. CM Punk thought he was going to run AEW. Just like now, he thinks he's going to run NXT. That's the only reason CM Punk came back to WWE. CM Punk figures, I'll do a year here, and then I'll get Shawn Michaels' spot when Shawn doesn't want to do it, and I'll be the big cheese, and I'll run NXT. He's already making inroads to do that. That's what he wanted to do. He's not going to be good at it. Because he's got too hot of a head, and he wants things done exactly the way he wants them done. There's a difference between telling someone what they need to do and letting someone actually feel their own style out. So people have said, well, what would you have done, Marcus, if, you know, you were told to kind of oversee the show there and Jack Perry wanted to use the real glass? I would have told, I'll tell you what I would have done. Number one, there's no big deal of using real glass on a car windshield. It's not going to cut you. And if you say, well, it's a rental car, we don't want to pay for it, well, that's Tony Khan's call. You're not paying for it. But let's say I genuinely was worried about Jack Perry's safety over something he was going to do that legitimately could hurt him. I would have went to him and said, look, take it for what it's worth from someone who's been through a lot of this. I'm not sure the risk you're taking to do this is worth the payoff because on TV I don't think it's going to look any different. If this was in front of a live crowd where they could maybe see the difference, I could understand, but don't you think this is maybe going a little bit too far for just the TV? And if he said, no, I don't, I'm looking forward to doing it, I would have said, okay, well, here's the thing. I think it's a mistake, but you're free to do what you want. But remember, I told you. That's it. My feelings aren't hurt. You're under no obligation to do what I tell you. I'm giving you advice. Can you imagine if everybody acted that way? Can you imagine if your friend came to you and said, I don't know, you know, I don't know how to handle my girlfriend. She's yelled at me. And he said, well, listen, why don't you just call her and apologize? Maybe. And then you find out, well, he didn't call her and apologize. Instead, he decided to break up with her. And you say, I'm sure the hell are you talking about? You idiot. Now I hate you. Why? Because your ego's so fragile they didn't take your advice? You can't have that fragile of an ego. The inexcusable thing that CM Punk did is not shoving Jack Perry. The inexcusable thing he did was the timing. Just before you go out for a match, number one, and number two, during the biggest pay-per-view you have ever had or ever will have. This was this company's moment. This is their shining moment. You know what this would have been like? This would have been like WrestleMania 40. Cody Rhodes is going to win the title from Roman Reigns. And we hear, oh, well, you know what? CM Punk got into an actual physical shoving match with Seth Rollins backstage, and they had to be separated, and it robs all the glory from WrestleMania 40, and nobody's talking about Cody winning. All they're talking about is Punk and Seth Rollins. That's irresponsible. It's not something a professional does. You pick your spots. Wait till the whole show's over, and then go find Jack Perry. Or wait till you get back to the States or whatever. And the next time you see Jack Perry, say, you and me need to talk. Let's step outside to talk where there aren't cameras and there aren't people in the way. You want to settle it that way? Fine, settle it that way. But don't do it here where it costs AEW big time. You did it twice, Punk. You interrupted the scrum after a great pay-per-view with your nonsense and your petty bullshit about your friends who betrayed you, or you say Colt Cabana who betrayed you, and how the executive vice presidents are idiots and how Tony Khan is an idiot when you're supposed to be talking about the pay-per-view. You already did that once. Now you do it again. This is the second time you did it. Todd, it's unacceptable.
I mean, absolutely right there, like you said. This whole thing with CM Punk, he's been doing it. He did this back. He pulled this crap back about 13, 14 years ago when he was in the WWE. He walked out and he got fired for it. And now he's doing this again years later.
Yeah. And Derek is saying, what about people who are thinking about signing with AEW? How does it affect them? Well, yeah, you're right. It looks like if you have a problem, Tony Khan's going to rub it in your face. But here's the deal. What Tony Khan should have said, if Tony Khan is a real leader, Tony Khan should have said, here's the deal. I do not condone what either one of these two did. Jack Perry is new to this business. And as far as I'm concerned, he should take the advice of somebody like CM Punk rather than to try to blow him off. Number two, there is absolutely no excuse in the world for a veteran of this business to shove a rookie during our pay-per-view, basically taking all the thunder away from our pay-per-view and putting all the spotlight on a backstage incident about yourself. Both of these people were totally wrong. It's totally unacceptable. I'm not putting up with it, and both of them are suspended. That's all he had to say. He didn't have to come out with, I was in fear of my life. I was hiding under a desk and things were flying. And what are you talking about? None of that happened. But you know Tony Khan doesn't have the balls, because I got news for you. During that media scrum, when CM Punk was saying, you know, the executive vice presidents here, they don't know what they're doing, and the leadership here is very poor, Tony Khan sat there with a cocaine smile on his face. He's talking about me, I think. What do you think Vince McMahon would have done? Vince McMahon would have said, scrum over. Reporters out. We got a problem here. And we're going to address it. Don't you ever talk to me in public like that. Who the hell do you think you are? You don't like working for this company, then you give me your resignation letter. But you don't get to use my time, the time I'm paying for, to criticize my federation or call out my executive vice presidents. You don't like them? Too bad. This is my company. Tony Khan couldn't do that. So CM Punk saw that. CM Punk said, this guy's a weak little pushover. He's a little marshmallow who just wants to be friends with wrestling. So I can do what I want. I'll do anything I want. Tony Khan's not going to stop me. And he's right. Now, Tony Khan had to fire him after that incident. And I'm going to tell you something. Daniel Bryan was one of the guys who sat on that that disciplinary committee who voted to fire him. So you're not going to sit here and tell me, well, but the boys didn't have any problem with it. Well, Daniel Bryan had a big problem with it, and he should have a problem with it. It's totally unprofessional behavior. You see Daniel Bryan over there doing that? Did Daniel Bryan go over there and say, look, man, I'm a veteran of this business. I know everything, and if you don't listen to me, I'm going to shove you and call you an idiot and confront you during pay-per-view. I haven't heard about him doing any of that. How come that's only just CM Punk that's doing that? It's outrageous. Listen, is it the death blow of AEW, as some people are calling? No, it's not the death blow of the company. Forget about it and move on and see what you can do. But here's the thing. This is going to be repeat behavior because Tony Khan don't get it. This incident alone is not going to bring down AEW, but there's going to be another one. And we'll talk about it in 1 minute, but there was already another one on the show that we'll talk about. But, Mike, Tony Khan has got to straighten up or get someone else in charge, or this is going to go over a cliff.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear you.
Marcus?
Yep.
I guess you're going to talk about Ospreay.
I'm going to in a minute. Yep.
My gosh. I mean, come on.
But before we do, I mean, what I'm talking about basically is Tony Khan. Tony Khan is bound to do something like this again, Mike.
Well, definitely. He has no control over the people. He's letting the inmates run the asylum. He's trying to be their best buddies, and it's not working out. It hasn't worked out from the beginning, and it's not working out now. It's going to keep getting worse and worse until AEW implodes.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. This one incident isn't going to bring down the house, but it's death by a thousand cuts. And you're already on, like, number 900. This is ludicrous. But let's talk about the Will Ospreay thing for a second. Here's Will Ospreay who says, "Don't call me a sports entertainer. I'm not an actor. I'm not an entertainer. I am a professional wrestler." Gotcha. So why'd you cut that promo? That's not acting. That's not sports entertainment. Now I'm hearing two stories. I'm hearing Tony Khan wrote that and insisted Will Ospreay said it. Will Ospreay doesn't have to say it. Will Ospreay can say I'm not saying it. But even if Will Ospreay felt he wasn't in a position to say I can't say it, he still went out and said it. It's still Tony Khan's fault. Because even if Will Ospreay said, "No, I wrote this myself," Tony Khan could have said, "Yeah, you're not saying that." So it all falls back to Tony Khan every time. I don't care if Will Ospreay wanted to say it or not. It was said. And the only person responsible for it being said was Tony Khan. Either way, whether Will Ospreay did it kicking and screaming or whether Will Ospreay wrote every word of it is irrelevant. It only got on television because of Tony Khan. The AWA is becoming the Democratic Party, and the WWE is Donald Trump. They can't stop talking about it. Instead of just saying, "Here's the good stuff we're doing," it's WWE, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, CM Punk, that's all they can do. You have a roster-tastic workers. And instead of featuring them, you have these two blithering idiots in the Young Bucks sitting in a broom closet, one with a freaking hat on, looking like two bloated midgets, trying desperately to connect a piece of security footage from years ago to an angle that's happening in the future. And failing miserably. You have Will Ospreay out there too worried about trying to insult CM Punk and Stephanie McMahon when you're going to have Will Ospreay versus Daniel Bryan. That is a fantastic match. Why are you wasting 1 second of your breath? It's just unbelievable. It's like Tony Khan sits at his desk saying, "How do I get to the WWE? How do I use my powers here in AEW to dig more at the WWE?" You don't. Just put on your goddamn show, Tony. I think we all understand very clearly one thing. Remember when the AEW craze was so big? They hadn't even had one match yet. And everybody's like, going to run WWE out of business. And I said, by what I'm hearing, there's no way you can run a wrestling federation like this for very long. Well, who was right? You can't let the inmates run the asylum. Well, this is what happens. AEW has Will Ospreay, Okada. They have Mercedes Moné that they've just hired. All three of them recently, and they still couldn't break 750,000 without saying, we're going to show you security footage of CM Punk beating up Jack Perry. So, Will, if you're not a sports entertainer, you better start trying to be one. Because when CM Punk's security footage of a six-second little shove that looked like a play school fight between 2 5-year-olds outdraws your matches, you better ask yourself a damn hard question, and that question is why. And instead of worrying about what Triple H did, why don't you worry about why you're drawing 700,000 and the CM Punk Jack Perry security footage drew damn near 1 million? That's the question, Mike.
That is the question. And frankly, look, we can get on Paul Heyman for running ECW out of business because he was a poor businessman. But you can damn well book it that this kind of stuff wouldn't have taken place in ECW under Paul Heyman because he was in control. He was running the company. He was the boss. Right? So this stuff wouldn't have taken place in that, you know, it wouldn't even taken place at WCW at the time. And look, here's the deal. What CM Punk should have said to Jack, when Jack Perry said, I'm going to do it anyway, my late father was an assistant principal at a high school, and when parents came in angry at him, he let them say their piece. And the phrase he would say is, I'm sorry you feel that way, but, you know, and that would totally disarm the situation and totally cool down the situation, right? That's what CM Punk should have said. When Jack Perry came in and said what he said, and then he said, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm sorry you feel that way, and then turn around and left. But CM Punk doesn't have the class to do that, and neither does...
And the thing is, Mike, too, how does he approach him? See, we don't know. We haven't talked to Jack Perry. Did he go over to Jack Perry and say, hey, Jack, I'm just here to give you a word of advice. I really don't think you should use real glass here. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think people are going to know the difference on TV. And in the minuscule chance that you get injured, it would be harmful to the company right now when you're getting a push. So I'd really, really highly recommend... You just go with the fake glass. No one's going to know the difference, and it'll be fine. Save that for our live audience where they do know the difference. And I bet you Jack Perry would have said, maybe you're right. But if you come to him and say, hey, asshole, I heard you're using real glass. Well, guess what? Not on my show, buddy. You can do that shit on Wednesday, but you're not doing it on Saturday. When somebody comes to you with that kind of attitude, what are you supposed to say? Right? Even if they're right and you know they're right, you're going to say no. Because you think, well, if they come to me with that kind of attitude and I say okay, I basically kissed their ass. I basically acted like I was afraid of them. See what I mean? I guarantee you if Daniel Bryan had went to him and said, you know, I don't think anybody's going to know the difference, Jack, quite frankly. You know how the TV cameras are and stuff. Nobody's going to know real glass from fake glass. It's not really worth the risk. I think it's a good spot. And maybe we can talk Tony Khan into doing it live somewhere where it's a real glass and the audience would know, and that would be awesome. But for this, where nobody's going to know the difference, I don't think it's worth the risk. I'll bet you Jack Perry's attitude would have been totally different. It's how you approach someone. If your boss comes over to you and says, listen, I know the way you're doing it. You're probably comfortable doing it this way. But, you know, policy's always been we do it this way. And so if you could do it that way, I'd really appreciate it. I know everybody's got their own style, and I don't want to come down on you like I'm a big whatever, but you know the deal. Most people would say, all right. But if you come over and say, hey, Lackey, what's the matter with you? Something wrong with your head? That's not our policy. You'll do things my way or hit the highway, understand? What do you expect that person to do at that point? That's why I say CM Punk baits you into doing these things and then blames you when you respond. It's a bit of a passive-aggressive thing. He gets you to react to something he does and then blames you for the reaction, when that reaction is perfectly normal based upon his behavior. That's always been his modus operandi, damage, and it's going to continue to be his modus operandi until somebody stops it, which I think probably is now, since he's in the WWE.
CM Punk's main problem is he thinks the world of wrestling revolves around him. He thinks wherever he goes, he's the big deal. He has to be the center of attention, and he acts accordingly. I agree with you. I guarantee when he went up to Jack Perry, he had an obnoxious nature about him, the way he was trying to convey his message to him. He didn't say it in a respectful manner. I can almost guarantee it, just like you said.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's the problem in a nutshell. Now let's talk about another problem AEW has. Because they have no actual writers, apparently, or the writers they have are so poor, you've wasted Mercedes Moné. Do you understand that you got Will Ospreay, Okada, and Mercedes Moné all in like the course of a couple of months, and your ratings have not improved at all because you haven't used them correctly? You don't even know how to use them. You don't even know how to use them. You got Will Ospreay basically just got his feet wet in here, and you're going against Daniel Bryan instead of building that up for however. Did you notice what the WWE did on their biggest drawing WrestleMania of all time, by the way? Remember when all the fans were bitching, Cody lost at WrestleMania 39, the WWE sucks. And I told you, well, that's long-term storytelling. You wait. You just wait. Your end is coming, the end you want is coming, and you're going to eat it up when it happens. I don't know why wrestling fans want to see a 15-minute movie. If you bought a ticket to see a movie, and within 15 minutes the good guy wins, the problem is over, resolved, everybody goes home happy, and the movie's over, you're going to be like, what the fuck kind of a movie was that? I want my money back. But in wrestling, Cody's got to be champion right now because that's what I want. Just relax. See, that's what's happening over in AEW. You could have built up Will Ospreay and Daniel Bryan for 6 months to the point where people would have been chopping at the bit for it. Nope. Let's do it right now. Okay. Well, I got news for you folks. After watching the security footage, after seeing how they used Will Ospreay, after seeing how they're using Okada, after seeing how they're handling Mercedes Moné, after seeing how Tony Khan runs his federation, the real winner in all of this is Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was smart enough to see the writing on the wall and said, I'm getting the hell out of here. And he's now WWE Universal Champion and, incidentally, sold over $1 million worth of merchandise during WrestleMania weekend. $1 million worth of merchandise in a two-day period. Think that's going to happen over in AEW? It's not. It's not. So there you have it, folks. One company is being run the right way. The other company's a disaster. Because you got people like Will Ospreay coming over saying, well, I wouldn't be treated well in WWE. I might have to lose a match here and there. I might have to act silly once in a while. I might have to do something. Okada, same way. Well, I don't want to end up like Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura laughing all the way to the bank. Shinsuke Nakamura's like, F you. I don't have to work that hard. I'm making myself a ton of money. See, but Shinsuke doesn't have that ego. Shinsuke's like, this is a business. I'm here to make money. You sign my paycheck at the end of the week, what do I care if I win or lose? It's not like I'm really fighting anybody. As long as my paycheck's big enough, I could see if in the beginning you care if you win or lose because that controls your paycheck. If you do nothing but lose, you're always just going to be a preliminary bum. You're not going to get paid. But if you've already signed a multi-year contract for millions of dollars, who the hell cares? Who cares? Well, apparently they do. I want to ply my trade where I can show my excellence. Okay. Well, is that showing your excellence? On a show that shows security footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry getting into a little bitch fight that 12-year-olds outgrow usually? Is that the company you want to be associated with, that company? I don't know. It's pathetic. We then have a little bit of a scandal, but it's being taken care of, I guess. But Ronda Rousey is now going on a world tour talking about how horrible the WWE is. Oh, it's a terrible place. Vince McMahon was a horrible man. There was nothing but sexual harassment there. As a matter of fact, Drew Gulick actually pulled the string of my sweatpants. And I told him in no uncertain terms, if I ever see you do that again, I'll take care of it myself. And he apologized. WWE has temporarily suspended Drew Gulick. Drew Gulick has come out and said, that's not at all what happened. We were in a crowd of people, and she wasn't right up front. And I went to shake her hand, and when I reached through people to shake her hand, my finger hit her drawstring, and when I pulled my hand back, it moved her drawstring, and she got upset. And I said, it wasn't intentional, and I'm sorry. Now, who do I believe? Well, I'm going to tell you who I believe. I believe Drew Gulick, and I'll tell you why. And I know people, I already hear you, misogynist. Here's why I believe Drew Gulick. Drew Gulick is an absolute 100% nobody over there. And he knew if he upset Ronda Rousey in any way, shape, or form, his ass would be fired. He also knows she's married. He also knows she's tough. He also knows that there's a no-tolerance policy to things like that. So you're going to tell me that a guy whose job is hanging by a thread would risk all of it to pull Ronda Rousey's drawstring because what's going to happen? He thinks her pants are going to fall down in front of a whole bunch of people, and then what's going to happen? She's going to get so turned on that she's going to grab a hold of them, and they're going to have passionate sex on the floor backstage? What the fuck are you talking about, Rhonda? I don't believe it. But here we go again, Mike, with the no-tolerance policy, so now Drew Gulick's got to sit home.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about this. I haven't seen the footage of the situation, and I don't exactly how many people are in Gulick and at the time, and who's he reaches in between two or three people, several people. He don't know where he's reaching. You know, he's not reaching high enough to say, and he don't know where he's reaching. Say he does reach in there and accidentally that drawstring. That's number one. Number two, if it's sweatpants, it doesn't matter because most sweatpants have elastic to it. So the sweatpants will come down anyway. You know?
Right. It makes no sense. Because it's not really sexual harassment unless he said something to her or gave her a certain look, or walked up to her in a sensual manner and said, hey, honey, and undid her, you know, whatever. If he's just passing her in passing and it happens, what did you think was going to come of that? And oh, by the way, here's what I don't like. This happened years ago, and now she's just coming out with it? How come you immediately didn't go to someone and say, hey, there's a guy backstage that really annoyed me. His name is Drew Gulak. He did X, Y, and Z to me. Right? He pulled my drawstring. You didn't say it until you're completely done with the WWE. Then you decide I'm going to go on a tour and bitch about how bad things were. How come you didn't bitch about it then? I don't hear one other woman complaining about Drew Gulak, so let me get this straight. You have people there at the time like Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, all of these beautiful women who think Drew Gulak is just fine, nice guy. Ronda Rousey, Drew Gulak can't control himself around. Find it very difficult to believe, Mike.
I can't believe how disingenuous Ronda Rousey has turned into. The WWE brought her higher than the UFC could ever have brought her. They brought her to a higher level, and this is the appreciation that she shows them. Yes, the WWE had some issues with Vince McMahon, and I'm sure some of that backstage was shown here and there. But clearly, the WWE and TKO have taken actions to make sure that this never happens again. And she's just going in and she's bashing them while they're fixing the problem. Now, if they weren't doing anything about it, I could see her being upset. But they've done several things about it, and they changed policies. And they got rid of the creator of sports entertainment. What more does she want them to do?
I don't know, and I don't even think I believe the incident. I believe maybe there was some problem with the drawstring. He touched it or whatever, but I don't believe. Again, what was his goal? He thought that by pulling her drawstring, somehow that was going to lead to some kind of a instantaneous response from her that was going to lead to them having passionate sex. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Before you do something like that, you slap her on the backside or make a comment that's a little bit inappropriate or something, right? Then I could say, well, all right, that's no good. Doesn't sound like something you do. Especially if you're in a position of Drew Gulak and the person you're doing it to. See, now, if you said Randy Orton did this to Maxine Dupri, I would have said, that's possible, because they're not going to do anything to Randy Orton. And if Maxine Dupri complains, she's probably the one that's gone. But it's vice versa here. I don't buy it. Something else I don't buy, but I don't know for sure, is Zelina Vega is apparently in trouble because one of her outfitters or people who made her props or whatever is saying that she refused to pay them after they did the work or underpaid them to the point where she still owes them money. She's gotten back on Twitter after getting off Twitter to address this and said it's not true. They literally offered to make it for me. I asked them what they wanted in terms of compensation, and they said nothing. We just want to get our product out there. And I still offered to pay them, and they still said no. So I said, well, that doesn't sound fair. So I got them tickets. I got them backstage. I got them, everything that I could possibly get them gratis. And then after that, then they decide, you know what, we've changed our mind. We want to be paid. Number one, can we please, as professionals, learn one thing? There's a word in the English language that solves a lot of these problems, and you should know it if you're a wrestler. It's called contract. You put in writing what the terms are going to be. I understand somebody says they're going to do something for you gratis. You don't whip out a contract, but you have to nowadays. You have to say, well, if you don't want me to compensate you in any way, I just want you to, let's just sign the contract then to say that, because otherwise it's going to make me look like I stiffed you. So could you please be professional enough to understand and learn? You have to have a contract for things like this. You absolutely have to. And before I go to the phones with comments for that, let me also say that I have now been told by sources, I believe that Drew McIntyre still has not signed his contract. They're going to have to come to terms with him. And I'll tell you why they're going to have to come to terms with him, because for the foreseeable future, not forever, but for the next month or so, the following people are not going to be available to the WWE. Roman Reigns, The Rock, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch. They're all taking time off at the same time. That's a lot of people. You're going to need Drew McIntyre in a feature spot, in a big one. And you're going to need him under contract. I don't know when CM Punk's coming back. I don't really care. But at least he'd be another big name to add to it. You need to solidify this. Drew McIntyre does not want to go to AEW. I promise you, Drew McIntyre does not want to go to AEW. He's going to use it as a bargaining chip, and I don't blame him. Pay him the money. He deserves it. He's busted his ass for this company. He's put on great matches for this company. He's shown to be semi-versatile. He was a heel. Then he was a total face. Now he's somewhere in between. He seems to be able to do all of that. Pay him the money, Mike, and let's get this thing going.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. Pay the man. Pay him. You're going to need him. If all these people are taken off, you're going to need him. And look, I followed Zelina Vega for not doing the contract. But, I mean, Zelina Vega, according to what you just said, she said several times, I will pay you, I will pay you, I will pay you, I will pay you. And they said, no, 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 no. So,
right.
Yeah, partially it is her fault. But if you're out, if you're being offered to being paid somebody for your work, for your abilities, and you don't accept it, it's your fault.
It is their fault. But at the same time, Mike, Zelina Vega has to be smart enough, businesswoman, to say, maybe I don't want to do a contract for a freebie. How about if I just send him an email saying, you know, the stuff you made for me is so wonderful. Are you certain that you don't want any compensation for what you've done? Because I feel bad. And then if they wrote an email back saying, absolutely not, we told you we were going to do this on the house and we were happy to do it for you, case is over. Because you can just show the email and say, what does that say? You should be able to be smart enough, Damage, to think of that if you're a businesswoman like Zelina Vega.
Absolutely. In this litigious society we live in, even the smallest things can come back around and bite you. It's a ridiculous situation. If I could talk about Drew McIntyre for a second. I remember a while ago on a previous show you said WWE lacks those guys that when their music hits and they come out, you're like, oh boy, something's about to happen. Drew McIntyre is one of those guys that when his music hits, shit's about to go down. And he's doing some of the best work of his career right now. So now's the time. You gotta get that checkbook out and you need to pay the man because you're going to need him.
I 100% agree with that, Todd. I think that Drew McIntyre is doing the best work of his career, and it's time to just, you know, whatever the situation is, fix it, sign him.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is the best time. Drew, you better get your contract signed and get a new one. And it's time for you to get that. We need a guy like you be on the future. Be in the future matches. That's all they need to do. That's all.
They got to do it, and they got to do it fast. He's not wanting to go to AEW. Trust me. He'd be, Drew McIntyre's all elite, and then in, you know, 3 weeks he'd be doing, dark matches somewhere. That's the way they handle. Look how they handled Mercedes Moné. She's irrelevant already. She hasn't wrestled. They don't know how to handle her character. She doesn't look the same. She doesn't act the same. She has none of the drama of it. They don't know how to handle her. Remember when Bret Hart went to WCW and they really didn't know how to handle him, so he really didn't go over as big as they thought? That's because the WWE knew how to handle him. There's a big difference. Last thing I want to talk about here is we were all correct when we said the WWE's first choice to put an end to The Rock at WrestleMania was not The Undertaker. It was, in fact, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But they could not come to terms with the money. I don't know how much Austin asked for. So I don't know whether he was being greedy and unrealistic or whether they were being cheap. I can't say. But I'm sure The Undertaker didn't do it for free. And I'm sure he got paid a decent amount of money. Having said that, you literally made $1 million. Now, I know Cody gets some of that, but you made $1 million worth of merchandise just off Cody Rhodes. That's not counting how much you made off the Bloodline and Jey Uso's Yeet t-shirts and the Drew McIntyre and the CM Punk shirts and the Seth Rollins merchandise and all that stuff. That's not even counting that. And you sold out two nights in a row, the highest ticket prices ever for WrestleMania, 75,000 times two. I know it's a very high budget you have here for renting the buildings and the security. I know the payout's tremendous, but you were rolling in money. You would have made up for it just selling the Austin shirts, right? So we were right. It was supposed to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mike, just as we thought.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. We were right, and they were not. I mean, we were right, and they, I mean, apparently they probably couldn't come to terms with him, but we were right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, the Undertaker maybe wanted to come back, maybe not, I'm not sure, but again, this is not the point. The point is, it was supposed to have been Stone Cold, and it wasn't.
That's the truth. Now, here's something that you guys might have missed, and I'd missed it initially until I rewatched Raw. During a backstage segment with Bronson Reed, static appeared on the screen. I thought it was my TV for a second. It's not. And now I heard a report that at a house show recently, they played White Rabbit. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They teased it at the end of the Bray Wyatt documentary that perhaps Bo Dallas is going to take his spot and continue his legacy. Can he do it as well as Bray? I doubt it. I don't think there's a soul on earth who could do it better than Bray, because I think that was Bray. See, that's the thing. You can say, oh, he was a jolly, happy, wonderful person outside. He was nothing like Bray Wyatt. No, inside he was, because you can't play a character that well if you're not. That was a darker part of him. He had that character. It's in you or it isn't. And it clearly was in him, because he did that character to the point where it's not even a character. You ever watch a TV show and you really think, like Al Bundy we use, you know, you really think that's Al Bundy. Well, there's got to be a part of that that's in Ed O'Neill, because you can't be that good. Well, that's the way it was with Bray. But can he do a decent job? He could do The Fiend, especially. The Fiend didn't ever talk. Can he do the other part? I don't know. My suggestion to him, and I'm sure he's not listening, but if he happened to be, my suggestion would be honor that gimmick, but don't try to be him. Be yourself with a little bit of him thrown in. Do it your way with a little bit of his way thrown in. Be different but similar. Because if you try to recreate it, the fans will reject it, saying he's just trying to rip off Bray Wyatt. If you're yourself with a little bit of that in it, even if it leads to The Fiend, I think fans might accept it. It's going to be interesting damage, because it does look like that's happening now.
Yeah, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. It's kind of like, you know, Kiss using Avatar's moving forward for to continue their careers and make money and not work. But I have mixed feelings about continuing Bray Wyatt's legacy and his gimmick with another person, even though it's his brother. I don't know. It seems just a little off to me that they're going to make money and capitalize on the death of Bray Wyatt. And that's just my feelings personally, so it's the way I feel about it. I don't know if you agree or not. Give me your opinion, please.
I guess I disagree more than I agree. There's some of it I agree with. But I do think that Bray Wyatt's legacy should probably be continued. There was so much more to it. The fans loved it. It's more honoring him than ripping him off, I think, if you're doing it. And I would relate it more to, you're saying, well, Kiss is sending out avatars. I'd relate it more to like Leonard Skinner, right? You had the plane crash, but Johnny Van Zandt still going, honoring his brother's memory. And then Leonard Skinner is still going strong with Johnny Van Zandt as the lead singer. So maybe this Wyatt thing can go strong with Bo as the leader. I don't know. It depends on how good he can do it. Like I said, if he comes out with a fun house and just does, hi, boy, no, that's not going to work. Because I think people are going to resent it. But if they come up with a story clever enough to say the Fiend was never really exclusively Bray anyway, that Fiend thing was a manifestation of his legacy. So if you were a part of that, you could potentially be the Fiend. Or if you do something where his spirit has possessed him in some way, you probably can get away with it. But he has to be a little bit different. He can't be exactly the same. He can't come out with a lantern and the whole, you know, and the hat, and he can't do that. If he does that, it is going to fail. But if he honors that legacy and says, I'm a different person, but I'm still a Wyatt, yeah, that could work. They have to handle it right, Mike, but I do think it could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't. If they handle it right, but again, I've said this about many things with the WWE. If they're handling it right, doesn't matter. Seldom recently handled things correctly. And this is going to take a lot of tact, finesse to handle this right. Not sure the WWE has that ability nowadays.
That's my only concern, is do they have the ability to do it? Todd, what do you think? You think that Bo Dallas can pull this off if he decides to continue this legacy?
If he could, he could. If not, I don't think it will work. We've got to see what happens.
Well, that's a good answer. If he can, he will. If he can, he won't. That's for sure. But here's the thing, though. If you watched one of those Marine movies, I don't remember which one it was, that Bo Dallas was the main villain. He was very good. I would argue he was better than The Miz. I remember watching that when he was doing the stuff with The Miz, when he was just The Miz's B-team lackey. And I had said to Mike at the time, do you see how good of an actor he was playing like that biker, like this psychotic biker? He was good, really good, very convincing. So if he could do that damage, he might be able to pull this off. But if he's going to do Uncle Howdy, that's not going to work.
You know, after I gave my opinion and then you rebutted, I agreed with something. If they can make that this gimmick look like he comes out and he's going to honor his brother and he wants to continue his legacy, but somehow the Fiend starts, you know, appearing and
right,
almost like a ghost, and he's
mm-hmm.
going to infect him with the Fiend. I could see that working.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the way I'd handle it. If you had me write it, I would have Bo Dallas come out and say, you know, I'm going to honor my brother's memory by being the best wrestler I can possibly be. And just have him do some matches as Bo Dallas. But then have that red light come on, have the stuff come on, and slowly he starts denigrating into something, and then eventually the Fiend, right? And you say to yourself, I guess he got possessed by it, whatever the hell it was, whatever Bray Wyatt had, was going to bring back to this federation. It's now living inside him. You could get away with that. You need decent writers. That's the thing. You need some really good writers. Bray Wyatt wasn't your typical wrestling writer. Oh, you get mad because I sneak attacked you with a chair, or I said you weren't a good wrestler, and then we fight each other because we're jealous of each other's abilities. That wasn't Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was way out there with all these weird, you know, there's a group of people who are following me, and I'm this, that, and I go in and out of different bipolar things. And Bray Wyatt was very deep with his stuff. And normal wrestling writers take a look at that and say, what the hell is that? I mean, you can't have Pat Patterson be writing something like that, right, if he was around. They don't get it. You need a real writer. You need a writer who says, this isn't really wrestling. It's more of a drama / horror thing, but I can write it. Then it will work. But it's not going to work if he just becomes Bray Wyatt. It's not going to work if he's Uncle Howdy, because that Uncle Howdy character was bad. It was really bad. Now, I don't suggest you make him, you know, Bray Wyatt, but why can't you make him Bo Wyatt? Right? Do something that makes it a little bit different. But almost hints that his brother's spirit somehow possessed him or whatever the hell that fiend was is now coming for him, because now that it doesn't have Bray to possess, you know, Jason Voorhees, right? Wasn't that it? Jason Voorhees changed bodies, right? You destroy one body, but he just get another body. So maybe the fiend is like that. Maybe, well, the fiend was just a manifestation of whatever body it could incorporate. It was Bray who brought it out, but it's still alive. There's the things you could do with that damage if you were a good writer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just like Triple H said in the interview, Bray Wyatt was way, way ahead of his time, and he was levels above in his writing ability and his imagination. I even believe Triple H said that, I believe it was Triple H, he would get texts from him at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with ideas, and he was just he was unstoppable with the ideas.
Yeah, when you have those voices in your head, the ideas show up at the most inappropriate times. Bray Wyatt was an artist. There's a difference. Bray Wyatt was more of an artist than a wrestler. He got it. He was a performance artist. He got it. You got to handle them like a performance artist. The wrestling is very secondary when it comes to that kind of thing. The first order of business is the performance art. So he's the antithesis of a Will Ospreay, okay? Should be very interesting to see. Tonight we should have a very good SmackDown. I'll be very interested to see how this crowd is compared to the Monday Night Raw crowd, and we'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.